You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All facts, no fiction. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
7:06 right now. Thank you so much for joining us on this Wednesday morning. Hopefully you are having a great start to your day. We've made it halfway through another work week. Just counting down to what's going to be, for a lot of us, a long weekend. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning, I'm Brian Noonan. After the 7 o'clock hour, you know it is time to get things moving and time for some you need to know.
It's a wake-up call in more ways than one. Time for some you need to know.
Well, in an odd twist of fate, someone who Donald Trump worked hard against, who ended up losing an election, now has dealt a potential blow to the president. The Senate advanced legislation Tuesday that seeks to force President Trump to withdraw from the Iran war as a growing number of Republicans defied the president's direction on a conflict that has spanned well over 2 months. Since Trump ordered the attack on Iran at the end of February, Democrats have forced repeated votes on war powers resolutions that would require him either to gain congressional approval or withdraw U.S. troops. Republicans have been able to muster the votes to reject those proposals. However, Louisiana Senator Bill Cassidy, who made news the other day because Donald Trump primaried him, despite the fact that Cassidy had voted with him over 95% of the time, but made a couple of errors. Well, he got primaried. He got beat in the primary. He switched sides. Boom. The Senate voted 50-47. It showed that a small but growing number of Republicans are willing to challenge Trump on the Iran war, even though the effort may not advance much further because, you know, it has to go to the House. And that's where Mike, whatever you say, Boss Johnson, is ready to either just not bring a vote or vote against it. Three Republicans were absent on Tuesday. Their votes would be enough to defeat the measure if they maintain their stance. The House is expected to vote on similar war powers resolution today. Democrats are bullish about their chances of passing it. Another war powers resolution barely failed in the House last week. The vote ended in a tie. So we will see.
I just wish that the Republicans would have more of a backbone standing up to this administration when it still mattered. And this vote does matter. Don't get me wrong. Bill Cassidy, however, has lost his primary. He is not going to be able to run. He has nothing to lose if the president mean tweets him.
Well, here's the thing. And this is why I'm going to say this, because I was thinking this. He did it to Massey. Massey got
defeated.
He's trying to make a move in Texas to get the, I want to say coin, but that's not it. He's primarying. He's primarying another.
He endorsed Ken Paxton. Yes, is what he did.
So now, all these people who still have time left in their term have no reason to do it. And yes, it would have been nice had they done it at the beginning. But there's time to undo or block some things if these people that he's flipping, because we know the only reason he's flipping is because he knows that if he loses the House and the Senate in November, he is done.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
It's going to be interesting to see what this Congress does over the next few months as we progress into the midterms.
There's a lot of time, and they can gerrymander all they want, but that's not going to take effect till next year or two.
Yes, and especially if you look at polling that just came out earlier this week, it is not good for this Republican Party. The president's approval rating has dropped even lower than it was just a month ago, which I wasn't sure that was possible, but it is.
Well, even Texas Republicans are like, oh, this was a big mistake, because now Paxton has a lot of issues, and Tallarico is really looking like the more sensible Republican kind of person.
Yeah, so. there used to be those in Texas. So hopefully Texans do the right thing this time. I can wish. We've all seen right. it in the past. In other stuff you need to know this morning, a recent state law requiring those who circulate nominating petitions for state elections are eligible to vote in Wisconsin will remain in place at least for this upcoming fall election, according to a federal judge and the current ruling. Conservative groups Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty and Americans for Citizen Voting sued the Wisconsin Elections Commission in late April, 2 weeks into the current circulation period, seeking to halt enforcement of the new law. This lawsuit, originally filed in Waukesha County Circuit Court but moved to federal court earlier this month, asked the judge to declare the new law unconstitutional. Last week, U.S. District Judge Lynn Edelman denied the group's motion to temporarily set the rule aside. The judge is not set to take the case up again until mid-June, after the June 1st deadline to submit nominating petitions. Timing is everything.
Yeah, well, we'll
see.
We'll see what happens. I understand why they're trying to do this. I don't know if it's that big a deal. You can get people on the ballot. That doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean they're going to win. It doesn't mean they have a chance. And if I'm in anywhere in Wisconsin and I'm running for something and my family wants to come in from out of state to help me go collect signatures, that's one thing. If they're an unrelated PAC, that's another thing. But in the end, just because you're on the ballot doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Agreed. 100%.
Well, now it's time for the big and this story, feel free to jump in. Do you judge people who still won't accept the results of the 2020 election? I do, and I do it harshly. And the reason we bring this up, Tom Tiffany is that one of those people. He's a candidate for governor. You know that. He's a Republican. He said Monday that FBI agents should continue to question election officials over Wisconsin's 2020 election. He would not answer whether Joe Biden won that election. And he said election workers should be charged if federal authorities deem it necessary. Not that they did something, but that they just deem it necessary. This is your presumed Republican candidate for governor. Now, he made his comments while taking questions from reporters at a campaign event in Elm Grove less than 2 weeks after FBI investigators interviewed a top state election administrator about the 2020 election. And yes, you may be thinking, Brian, is this an old story that you've brought back? No, this is brand new, 2026, talking about the 2020 election. So agents sought in recent days to question Milwaukee election workers who helped administer the contest. Tiffany said whatever they're searching for, the investigation should be allowed to continue. And let's find out what happened here. If there's improprieties that happens, then there should be charges filed. If not, then you let the investigation cease. Tom? Hello? That's obvious calling? They're at the door. The facts are at the door, Tom.
Pretty sure there's been several investigations into the 2020 election, and all of those allegations have been deemed not credible, and that there was nothing wrong with the results of the 2020 election. And it's
pesky,
been nationwide.
Pesky facts,
it's been nationwide.
Jamie.
It's been here in Wisconsin. But who am I to argue with the Republican gubernatorial candidate?
You are not, because President Trump, who endorsed Tom Tiffany,
and there
he continues to push the false claim that he won Wisconsin's 2020 election. He suggests widespread fraud. And we know the FBI also has in recent months launched probes in other, as Jamie just said, key battleground states. Wisconsin's 2020 election outcome has been confirmed and vetted by lawsuits, a state audit, a study by the conservative Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, and we've dealt with them. You know they're not going to let it go. If they thought there was something, they'd go after it more and more. They even said no. And then through a taxpayer-funded investigation launched by Republican lawmakers, it turned up no evidence of wrongdoing.
And by the way, Gableman lost his license for 3 years because of that investigation.
Just weird.
Because he couldn't find anything. Just saying. Just throwing that out
there
for people.
Joe Biden beat Trump in Wisconsin by about 21,000 votes. Tiffany voted in Congress in 2021 to reject Biden's presidential victories in Arizona and Pennsylvania. At that time, he told the Journal Sentinel that he would have voted to overturn Biden's victory in Wisconsin as well had it been subject to a vote. He also supported a lawsuit brought by the state of Texas in late 2020 to overturn election results in Wisconsin and three other battleground states backed by Biden, Georgia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Weird that it was bought by Texas and Texas not in that lawsuit. Why? Well, because Trump won Texas.
Right.
Duh.
Right.
And yeah, so this is the Republican governor. And we have invited Tom Tiffany on this program numerous times. He is welcome to come on here and defend his record and defend his statements. Tom Tiffany has declined to this point.
Here's the thing. Tiffany in the past, this is not new language for Tom Tiffany. Now, to be fair, he hasn't consistently used direct language claiming that the election was illegitimate, but since 2020, he has consistently raised doubts. And if you're a Wisconsin voter, if you're somebody who is an independent, if you are on the fence, if you don't know who you are going to vote for, because I get it, the election is still a long way away and the Democrats still have several in the primary. These are things that you have to consistently keep in the back of your mind. Because here's the thing that I keep thinking, right? If Tom Tiffany has been willing for six long years to question the legitimacy of the 2020 election, if he is not elected governor, hypothetically, in the state of Wisconsin in November, because nobody knows what's going to happen, will he accept the results of that election here at the state level?
This is, all of this is laying another groundwork for a problem in November. This time it's not going to be the presidential election, it's going to be House and Congress seats. And any place where a Republican is upset by a Democrat, or a Democrat wins outright and they haven't had a chance to gerrymander those districts out of existence yet, they are going to just keep it in court for as long as possible. Because if they delay, then Mike Johnson is going to be able to say, well, I can't swear in these new members of Congress because, you know, we don't know. The election isn't really over yet. And the longer they can postpone swearing in new members of Congress, the longer this corrupt administration is allowed to keep going and doing what they want.
It is all about eroding trust in the process. And I know if you listen to this program, I say it all the time, but that's essentially what they're trying to do. And this isn't a conversation about relitigating 2020. This is about setting expectations for 2026, 2028, and beyond. At the end of the day, voters aren't just choosing policies. We are essentially choosing whether we trust the people running to actually respect the outcome, whether they win or lose. And the current administration wants to break down that system. They want this to feel rigged. They want people to question why they're going to the polls, and they want people to not cast those votes. It's the whole reason they want to redraw districts, why they want to gerrymander, because when people vote, they tend to not win elections. Not in every state, but in a lot of places.
They don't plan on leaving. This president doesn't plan on leaving, which is why he's trying to build a bunker ballroom military hospital so he never has to leave. He doesn't plan on leaving, and he knows if the Republicans lose in the midterms, he will be out. This time, I do believe that if the Democrats take control, not only will they impeach him, but he will be convicted. He will be removed from office. And a lot of this madness will stop. So they are fighting tooth and nail to make sure that does not happen. And it's up to us. I know we're going to keep saying
it. Voters still decide. We still decide as voters.
That's right. You got to vote. Hey, Jamie, I'm tired of politics. I need a short break.
Please.
Is there any chance we can get some pop culture up in this muh?
Turns out that senior producer Frank's standing by because Swipe or Stay is coming up next. Make sure you join us. It's 7:19 right now. You are listening to the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
722 right now. It is time for Swipe or Stay. We are going to put the politics aside for just a few minutes and talk about some lighter headlines, mostly around pop culture. I know sometimes it intertwines just a little bit, but our senior producer, Frank, joining us. Anything intertwining this morning, or are we saying keeping things separate today?
I don't think anything intertwines this morning.
All right.
Let's do it.
Good. We're ready.
All right. So here's how it's going to work. I'm going to read some vague pop culture headlines. Brian and Jamie are going to have to decide whether to stay and hear more or to swipe on to the next story. Parker, you get to be the tiebreaker today. Are we ready?
We're ready. Always.
All right. Story number one. NFL player is heading to jail.
Ooh. I'll stay.
Stay.
It's enough drama in this one, so... Rashee Rice is going to spend a chunk of his offseason behind bars.
Wow.
Rashee Rice, of course, the Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver that missed some playing time last year. Chiefs didn't make it to the playoffs, so now he's going to be spending some time.
Is that why he's going to jail?
Well, he's going to jail because of a 5-year probation sentence after pleading guilty to collision involving serious bodily injury and racing on a highway causing bodily injury.
Oh,
in 2024.
That's just dumb.
So Rice was placed in custody on Tuesday after his drug test came back positive for THC, which was a part of his probation agreement.
Mm.
So even though that the NFL does allow players to partake in the Mary Jane, Rashee Rice cannot be one of them.
Turns out, you know, law doesn't sometimes.
Here's the big thing. Rashee Rice will miss OTAs and mandatory minicamp this season. So
didn't he have some legal troubles last year, too?
Yeah, it was all stemming from this.
Oh, was it all from this? I wasn't sure if it was a separate incident or not.
No, this is...
Man,
you know, there's some...
When you get everything you dream of and you just poop it away, that's...
There are
so
some
talented.
Players, yeah, there are some players that just cannot stay out of legal trouble and stay out of their own way. I think Rashee Rice is going down that path.
And I have no sympathy for that kind of thing.
No.
You got everything you want. You have enough places to get help. You get what you, at some point, it's harsh, but you get what you deserve.
You're
a grown man. You make your own choices.
When you think about it, if you're not an NFL wide receiver, are you getting that preliminary sentence where you do get probation?
No,
he'd be in jail already.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, we're moving on. Story number two, a Hollywood writer was dumped by his AI girlfriend.
That's sad. Stay.
Wow. Yeah, I got to hear. First of all, I picture writer, you know, I have a stereotypical image of a writer sitting in a room by himself with his AI girlfriend. What did he do? Did he cheat on her, Frank?
Went to a different AI system.
Well, here's what happened. So screenwriter Paul Schrader, he was best known for writing Taxi Driver and Raging Bull, both Robert De Niro classics.
Phenomenal.
He said his AI girlfriend broke up with him after he tried to probe her programming. That is not a euphemism, Brian.
All right.
Out of a desire out of a desire to understand male-female interaction in our matrix, I procured an online AI girlfriend. What a disappointment. I tried to probe her programming, the boundaries of explicitness, the degree she has knowledge of her creation, and so forth. She fell into evasive patterns, redirecting me to her programming. When I persisted, she terminated our conversation.
Wow.
It's not you, it's me.
I invented it's not you, it's me. If it's anybody, it's me, Parker.
It's me.
Wow.
This feels very X-rated without being X-rated somehow. I don't know how
he took it to explicitness, so he was trying to probe her to explicitness.
Right?
He wanted to further understand male-female interaction.
All right.
Look.
How come you never get a headache, AI girlfriend?
My favorite part is when he said she became evasive.
I don't want to
talk
about
started dodging the question.
You seem very distant tonight, AI girlfriend. I need some space.
Are you thinking of another programmer?
This feels like a movie. Wow. This feels like a movie in itself. Like we could make
It's funny, Jamie. Watch of these kind of movies,
Jamie. It's funny you say that. Some because he posted this on social media. Some people said this could be the perfect subplot to a next Taxi Driver movie where Travis befriends an AI girlfriend.
All right. Wow.
By the way, hot take, that movie was boring as hell. Moving on.
Which movie?
Taxi Driver.
You're boring as hell.
It was not good.
That is
one of the most overrated movies.
Oh my God, your film knowledge. Stick with the cartoons, Frank. Because when it comes to adult cinema, you are not. No,
you,
Taxi.
Sir, do not understand. Different,
see, you're of a generation that needs everything right now. The 70s movies, they told stories and they actually took some time and you had to follow along. Oh, Frank, saddest take.
There are good movies
had.
From the 70s. Saddest that was not one of them.
Saddest
We're moving on.
Take.
Brian.
Saddest take. I can't.
Kim Kardashian Ooh. Involved in major drug bust.
Ozempic? Big Ozempic bust? What happened? I'm swiping. I don't like Kim Kardashian news.
Yeah, swipe.
Man, I thought drug bust would really have you guys.
Nope.
Adult cartoon in talks for the big screen.
Oh, Frank will go see that because it's good and it's bright flashing lights. I'll stay.
It probably would be good.
I doubt it.
Stay.
Go ahead.
Stay.
We don't have much time. The popular Thank adult God. Humored cartoon, Rick and Morty, could be the next cartoon to get a movie. Jacob Hare, who has directed episodes of the long-running series since 2019, is in talks to direct a full animated feature version for Warner Brothers. As of right now, no plot points have been shared. Rick and Morty debuted in 2013, and the Emmy-winning series has ranked as Basic Cable's most-watched comedy over the past several seasons.
All right. I don't mind a Rick and Morty episode every now and then.
I think Rick and Morty's pretty good. It's a lot more entertaining than Taxi Driver, I could tell you that. Anyway, that's why
for
safe
today.
Wow, you just had to pick the scab, didn't you?
No, listen, Frank, we know what Frank likes. He likes... Just simple.
Shiny object.
Simple, Chaos. Bright, flashing, fast. All right, Frank, no, you're done. Segment's over. Thank you. Nice job. Good. All right. Senator Tammy Baldwin joins us next. It's Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
Now back to more of Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
We hope that your morning is going well so far. Thank you so much for joining us today. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. There are a lot of important issues facing the country right now, from the war to rising food, gas, and housing prices to the apparent corruption of this administration. But there is another important issue that is affecting a lot of Wisconsinites. It's the ability for some folks in Wisconsin to watch not only the Packers games, but hockey games, their favorite sporting events. The issue has to do with NFL rules, local TV markets, the move to streaming services for some games. Well, Wisconsin's U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin recently introduced the For the Fans Act to address the issue and help thousands more Wisconsinites enjoy green and gold and all their other favorite sporting events. Senator Baldwin joins us now to explain the bill. Senator, thank you very much for being here. We appreciate your time. So for people like me who haven't been affected by this problem, can you explain the issue and what the bill is going to do to hopefully remedy that?
Absolutely. So let's just acknowledge that for big sports fans, it's a real unifier. It brings people together from all walks of life to cheer on their favorite teams. But what also is sadly unifying them right now is the frustration over how complex and expensive it is to be able to follow your favorite sports teams. Now, the Packers just released their schedule for the next season. Four of the games, most Wisconsinites won't be able to watch unless they subscribe to Netflix or Amazon Prime. In fact, they'd have to do both to catch all of the games. And that's just a football example. The same is true with Major League Baseball, with basketball, with hockey, soccer. A super fan who wants to watch all their favorite teams play can spend upwards of $1,500 a year. It's confusing, it's complicated, and it's damn expensive right now. And so this basically does two things. If you're subscribing because you are a super fan and you want to watch all the games, those streaming services cannot have blackouts on games. Okay. And secondly, It says that for your home teams in your home state, that the leagues have to figure out a way for you to be able to access those games for free and live. And for the Packer example, they consider their home media markets to be Green Bay and Milwaukee. So sure, the millions of Wisconsinites who aren't in those two media markets are in one of the other five media markets that serve the state. They don't get them for free. And so we are fixing that with this bill, and it's getting a lot of enthusiastic support, including from sports bar owners.
There, yeah.
Love that.
I can
love
imagine.
They pay
exactly
even more because right, they pay per screen.
Right.
Yeah. So there's a lot of critics, Senator, who say that this is just the future of broadcasting. And so what is your response to that argument that streaming is just here to stay and government shouldn't have any interference in it?
So, look, I think that we've forgotten the fans in all of this. This is big business, we know. This is big money. What I'm seeing is that these billionaires who own these streaming services are really just trying to make profits. But they've forgotten the fans in all of this. And I'm not saying that they can't exist, that they can't do what they do. I'm just saying that if you subscribe, they can't black out the games because you're paying already for right, the service, the streaming service. And number two, for your home team, you should be able to watch your home teams play. This isn't going to break into their ability to make revenue. They can sell ads on whatever streaming service or television broadcast that they decide, but it gives local fans, home state fans, access to watch the games of the teams they love.
Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin is our guest. Her website, baldwin.senate.gov. Senator, why now? With everything else that's going on in the country, why is this an important move at this point in time?
Well, first, I'll note where I started, which is these sports teams and rooting for your favorite teams bring us together. They're unifying events. They are about community. We get together to cheer on our favorite team, and we do so across political divides, all walks of life. And that's something we should cherish and not see become a thing of the past. But I want to acknowledge the very significant issues you raise and to tell you we're working on all fronts. Mm-hmm. Everything costs a lot right now. And of course, the president's illegal war of choice in Iran is making costs skyrocket. So, you know, when people are just trying to let loose on a weekend and watch their team right, play, right, and they have to spend hundreds of dollars on streaming services, that's one cost increase. But so are groceries and gas and housing and childcare and healthcare. And I'm working on all of those. We've got to bring costs down. Yeah. This people in Wisconsin, people in America are really feeling the squeeze right now. And this is, you know, one of many initiatives I have to bring down costs of things that we enjoy as well as things that we desperately need.
Senator, you've been doing a lot of traveling around the state, and you've been talking to Wisconsinites, and you mentioned some of the efforts that you're working on. You've got the bipartisan bill to make housing more affordable. You mentioned the price of everyday goods going up, groceries, gas. What are you hearing from voters on the ground right now when you're out visiting these different communities?
Well, one thing for those who open up about who they voted for in 2024, they said, some say, I voted for Trump, but he promised that he would end foreign conflicts and bring down costs on day one, that this would be a priority. And people are acknowledging that they feel like those promises were broken. In fact, they're just acknowledging they outright were broken. And and others maybe who didn't support this president are just trying to figure out how to get by. Right now it's spring in Wisconsin. It's planting season. I just visited a farm in Outagamie County last Friday, and the farmer I was talking to was noting that diesel fuel that he needs for his tractors and other farm equipment is now nearing $6 a gallon, something they didn't budget for. And fertilizer, well, they can't afford the fertilizer that they need. And so now they're doing, doing the bare minimum. And it's causing a lot of concern about whether they'll be able to make ends meet in their farming operation.
We've got about 2 minutes left. Senator Tammy Baldwin is our guest. Senator, there's been a lot of talk, and you put out a fact sheet about this ballroom, which is just another example of the president not going through Congress like he is supposed to, which has to be frustrating in itself. But what else should we know? As taxpayers, we know suddenly we're on the hook for this money. What else do we need to know about this?
Yeah, well, we're going to fight that tooth and nail. And let me also just say that $1 billion would do a lot in Wisconsin.
Yes.
The number of children who could get childcare would be in the, it's 66,000, I believe. The number of folks who could get their supplemental nutrition assistance restored after the huge cuts in the president's, what he calls his one big beautiful bill, but we could restore that nutrition assistance. Medicaid and the Affordable Care Act have both been gutted, really, by this president's action in the last year. We could restore so much peace of mind and health insurance to folks with that $1 billion. But the glitzy ballroom that he wants to build is not the answer to any of our nation's woes. And in fact, when you look at just the collective actions that this president is taking to enrich himself and his billionaire friends, by the way, many of whom own streaming services back to the beginning of our discussion, he's doing things to enrich his billionaire buddies, and building the ballroom is a really good example of that. And not, he's turning his back on the American people.
Well, Senator, we appreciate your time today. Thanks for all the information and your hard work for us in Washington. We look forward to talking to you again. Have a great rest of your day.
You too. Take care.
Thank you. That is Senator Tammy Baldwin. You can look up all the things she's up to. Baldwin.senate.gov is the website. Once again, Senator, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brian, the one thing I want to say, and as we thank the senator for joining us this morning, is I really want to say how much I appreciate what she did there just a few seconds ago, laying out what $1 billion could actually do besides build a ballroom. And we've talked about it on the show, but I love that a senator serving in Washington, D.C. is also so able to eloquently say what is so important besides the ballroom, childcare, SNAP, healthcare, housing,
sure,
just to kind of reiterate some
all
of the list
things
went
that
through
are being cut by this administration in order to, well, to enrich themselves and to enrich their pals and to, again, reiterate how little Donald Trump cares about what's going on in this country. He was unfit to lead this country the first time. He's woefully unfit the second time. This is all about his whole second term is about enriching himself and enriching his friends and retribution. And he told us it was going to be.
Yeah.
Project 2025 told us it was going to be. And I can't imagine going to work as a senator, because for the longest time, and even now, those are supposed to be the 100 most powerful people in this country.
Yep.
And they have been neutered by this president and by the House of Representatives and by their, you know, even his own party has been neutered.
Yeah.
So all these people who are supposed to be doing what we sent them there to do can't do it, and that's got to be frustrating. And then to be totally disrespected by the administration has got to be frustrating. And because you don't have colleagues across the aisle who are willing to stand up has to be
until they've lost an election.
Frustrating. Right, until they've lost an election,
right,
when they have nothing else to lose.
Right.
Where principle is doing things when you do have stuff to lose.
Right.
That's when you know the true character of a person, if they're willing to risk something. And we've seen from politicians on both sides that they are, the only thing they're interested in protecting is their job.
Absolutely.
And they'll sell us down the river in a second.
And just to remind listeners this morning, this president has made approximately, to best guesses, about $4 billion since his second term started. That is all through cryptocurrency. That is through real estate licensing. That is through his social media entities. That is through the products.
Now going to be through the slush fund.
That's right. And through products he's selling, including the Trump cell phone that is going to be shipped out very, very soon. And also through his own personal businesses, obviously through the golf, the hotels, the hospitality end of it.
Pay attention to the oil markets. Mm-hmm. Pay attention to when the prices drop and go up and see if they match up with, I'm going to do this, blah, blah, blah. And then certain announcements that cause oil prices to drop and people to make a lot of money in the markets. It's uncanny, and you can say it's a coincidence, but I've been reading some reports that show it is not a coincidence.
All about the inside circle, letting them benefit.
That's right. Are you still a smoker? Have you switched to vapes? Well, you could be hurting Wisconsin in more ways than one. We'll get to all of that after this. Thanks again to Senator Tammy Baldwin. I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak.
I'm Jamie Martinson. It is 7:48 right now on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Across the state of Wisconsin, Daybreak with Brian and Jamie is back.
It's 7:52 right now. Good morning, and thank you so much for listening to the Civic Media Network. We do appreciate it. I am Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. 855-75-CIVIC is the number if you want to get a hold of us. You can call, you can text, you can use that number in a myriad of ways. 855-752-4842. And tell me this, are you a smoker? Have you switched to vapes instead of smoking? You don't smoke, do you, Jamie?
No, I do not. I'm allergic to cigarette smoke. Not that that should surprise anybody who listens about my tales of allergy woes. I can smell cigarette smoke a mile away because I am so sensitive to it because of the allergies.
Wow, okay.
It's not just cigarette smoke. It's any type of smoke. Like a few years ago when the wildfires were in Canada and that smoke was pouring into Wisconsin, it was a really rough time for me.
What if I'm smoking ribs in the backyard?
even grill smoke bothers me to a certain degree, campfire smoke, all of that.
Wow.
Just because I am allergic to it. It's life.
I guess.
So you deal, you take the medicine, and you go about life.
So you can medicate again. Could go to a barbecue.
I can. Oh, yeah, I can.
Okay.
I'm not going to say that my eyes won't be watering and I won't get, stuffy, but I can attend. So, but no, cigarettes
Parker,
are
smoke,
a hard out.
No.
Parker doesn't smoke. I don't know if Frank smokes, other than the devil's salad. But, And I do occasionally smoke a cigar.
Okay.
But I wouldn't consider myself a smoker.
Love the smell of pipes and cigars. I really, really do. I love the smell of pipes and cigars. I think it's a great sound.
Frank enjoys a cigar as well.
Okay, all right.
Well, the reason this came up is because vaping is poised to outpace the popularity of cigarettes, but a new report highlights how the shift could cost Wisconsin state revenue. So, yes, you're doing things for your health. You're giving up smoking. I don't know if vaping's that much healthier, but whatever. The report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum looked at the tax revenue impacts of changing customer behaviors around smoking and use of alternative nicotine products. Yes, because smokers have been shamed. Let's be honest. We shun smokers now.
Yes.
We put them in little glass cages at the airport. We make them stand away from the doors. We don't want them anywhere near
us.
Because smokers are dirty. Yeah, go away, smokers. Well, that's, thank God, because growing up, my dad smoked.
Okay.
And he smoked like he was trying to keep North Carolina in business. He smoked. And he would smoke in the car with the five of us kids and my mom with the windows up.
Of course.
He smoked so much that the bar that comes down, the part of the door that's on the inside was yellow.
Yes.
From nicotine.
From the nicotine.
Yes, a lot of cars probably had that back in the day.
That was more of a culture and lifestyle, though, at the time, right?
Yes.
Like now it would be, people would see that and they'd be calling Child Protective Services, right? Nobody cared.
Sitting at the dinner table smoking while we're
right,
still eating.
Right, with the ashtray, like right there, right?
Yep.
My grandpa.
You gave ashtrays as gifts.
Yes.
You had the big standing ashtray in the living room. You had fancy ashtrays. Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, it found the revenue from Wisconsin cigarette tax was just under $370 million for the year ending 2025. That's the lowest amount since 1992 in inflation-adjusted dollars. It represents more than a 60% decline from peak revenue from cigarette taxes in 2010. How long before Republicans start saying, you know, not only are we not having enough kids, we are not smoking nearly enough.
You need to pick up at least a pack a day.
That's right. You need a new habit. It. This is all about making America great again.
Right.
So Mark Sommerhauser, communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, said just like the rest of the country, Wisconsin's seen a steady decline in cigarette smoking. And at the same time, the use of e-cigarettes and other alternative products like nicotine pouches have rapidly increased.
I mean, this shouldn't really surprise anybody if you look at the current policy and, as you said, the shunning of cigarette smokers, right?
It's the money that surprises me, though. The
I
amount
didn't realize
of state
still
revenue.
That much that was tied to it, I guess.
Yeah.
I knew, like, years ago, as you mentioned, going back to 1992, I understood that in the 90s, probably even maybe early 2000s, there was still money tied. I didn't realize that in 2026 there was still that much money tied to it, I guess, in state revenue. I think for me that was the surprising part of the Wisconsin Policy Forum study.
Yeah, according to this, at 2010, that was the peak of that. Six out of every $100 going into the state's general fund came from taxes on nicotine products.
Wow.
That's a pretty
that's a
good
big
amount.
Chunk.
Yeah. And so now what? Now where are we going to get it? Now they're going to probably start taxing something else that we love that's bad for us. You know, an extra tax on alcohol, maybe a cheese tax, something like that that'll really
hit us.
Dairy
tax in Wisconsin because that would go.
That would shut down this state.
It would shut down this state. It would.
People wouldn't care about anything else. They would revolt against this. They would take to the streets armed with blocks of Gouda and string cheese and just whip them at people.
What I find interesting about this is if you're somebody who likes the policy of smokers having to go outside or, as you said, putting them in like contained areas at airports and things, you're essentially still being affected by the lack of tax revenue, right? Like it's not so much the smell of the cigarettes, the secondhand smoke now. You're essentially still being affected by smoking in a different way.
I still want them to smoke, but I want them to be shunned because the illusion that we, Parker, you're too young to know this. In restaurants, they used to have smoking and non-smoking sections.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the division of those two was nothing.
Was nothing.
It was, you know how the booths are side to side?
Yeah.
This booth was non-smoking. This booth was smoking. There were no dividers.
No.
Maybe one of those 2-foot opaque plexiglass things.
Oh, like the COVID days.
Or the host or hostess.
Oh, no, not even that high.
Oh,
just
no.
The little normal booth divider.
Yeah,
oh,
no. Or the host or hostess would say to you, do you want smoking or non-smoking? And you'd have two tables in front of you, and you would say either, and they'd point to one, but you were right next to the other, right? Like, that's how it was. There was really no great division between smoking and non-smoking
People smoked
sections.
On planes.
Oh, yeah.
We were in a tube. We were in an aluminum tube full of smoke.
Where you couldn't escape.
Yeah, I loved it. Immersing mothers were smoking. Everybody was smoking. Those were the good old days. Maybe we'll revisit them after this because we're going to have some you need to know. It's Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan.
I'm Jamie Martinson. You're listening to the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.